Yeah, let's remain standing for our gospel reading, taken from John. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So last week, Jean laid out the foundations for this term where we're looking at God's promises. And today we are looking, as Jean said, at the promise of God to protect. The need to feel protected and safe comes from a deep, fundamental drive within every human being. Feeling protected or not affects us physically and literally enables our bodies to refuel, regenerate, and heal. Or if we feel unsafe, unprotected, anxiety kind of takes over and we break down mentally and physically. So I wonder what you feel you might need protection from. On the most basic level, we protect ourselves from the cold. So this stylish young lady does it rather well, I thought. But some of us maybe just sling on the clothes to keep warm one way or another. In lockdown, we needed help and protection from one another to stem the spread of COVID-19, of course. So we went to extraordinary lengths of changed behaviour and additional clothing, of course, in order to protect ourselves and others. President Maduro of Venezuela probably thinks he needs some protection from Donald Trump. On the other hand, of course, the people of Venezuela undoubtedly need protection from their own president and the atrocities his regime has committed. But throughout the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, there is a clear and consistent theme that God protects his people. That is his promise. These ancient texts, which have the very breath of God within them, his character and ways revealed throughout them, are simply full of God's promises to protect his people. And I thought we would just focus in on what we have heard today. That Psalm 91 is really almost iconic. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He will save you, he will cover you." I kind of really could have read the whole psalm again, but perhaps time constrains that. And then we've just heard from John too, how Jesus is saying that no one snatches them, us, out of his Father's hand. To come alive, though, these promises need to be embedded and rooted in the context and experience of real life. Life when they were written, and our life today. Life does and always has embraced very real fear, danger, anxieties, battles of many different kinds, all sorts of human experiences from which we long to be protected. So in the book of 1 Samuel, we read how God protected David whilst he was in a cave. and protected him when Saul, King Saul, was after him, vengeful, after his life. It's a great story. Do look it up if you're not familiar with it. I happened to receive some updates from believers in the Ukraine and read of a time when a Russian ballistic missile exploded just 100 metres from this chap, Vlad's home. He was a local pastor. The blast shook the house violently. Yet miraculously, Vlad has just opened a window just moments before the explosion, which diverted the pressure wave and prevented greater damage to his house. So it was minor damage in contrast to the neighbouring houses. And that caused folks to say to him, "Look how your God is keeping you safe." However, the reality is for most of us, our experiences of God's promise to protect for protection is mixed and complex. Sometimes it feels as those promises might fail. The truth is, in my life, I have made some bad choices and done foolish things, and I have not been protected from the consequences of those things. If I were to regularly stuff my face with my favourite jam donuts from Reeves, could I expect to receive God's protection from diabetes and heart failure? On the other hand, bad things happen to innocent people. We only have to look around our communities and the world to see that, even ourselves. So how are we to make sense of the times when God's promises of protection don't look like what we hope for? Well, experience tells a story, but experience isn't the whole story. We are complicated beings, and there are times when we simply don't cotton on to what God is doing. So if sometimes the biblical promises of God and our experience can feel like a slightly wobbly, unstable stool, then perhaps the third leg of the stool, which stabilizes it, is faith. It's not that faith has all the answers, but as God's people, when we say yes to Jesus, we are called to believe that our story, our experience, his promises are all caught up in his story, in the life of Christ. It's from Colossians 3. But you know, there is nothing passive about this faith. We're called to dig, to work hard for the treasure of what it means to believe in God's promises of protection over us. We're called to the perseverance of discovering the depth of those promises. If we go way back to the beginning of time and the biblical writer's explanation of how we were created to be, we don't see Adam and Eve lying on sun loungers, enjoying the wonderful world around them, while joining the Lord God for drinks at sundown and perhaps a stroll in the cool of the day, nothing ever disturbing their idyll. No, God gave them responsibilities, stuff to learn, to navigate, to negotiate, to work on. There's nothing magical or passive about this partnership, a kind of waving of hands saying, "Oh well, God's in control, God'll sort it." There's something dynamic and agile about the way that Adam and Eve were to cooperate with God for them to discover his ways. And that's what we are called to do too. For us, Saying yes to faith in Jesus brings alive the promises of God to protect us. It causes us to search, to discover ourselves and who we are in Jesus. It leads us to look beyond what we see and seek the divine narrative. God is doing something. What can it be? Where and how might we see him working, protecting us? What does that look like for us? Faith in God stabilizes and grounds what we read of the promises of God and our experience. And I'm just going to end with a story. It has shades of Goldilocks and looking for a comfortable bed. But it begins a long time ago, when I lived in Bristol with my first husband and had two little girls. Anthony was a baker, which meant that he went to bed early and got up early. And one particular night, Jesse and Ellie were about 6 and 2 years old, and they wanted to go to bed with their dad. So they snuggled up together in the big double bed. And when it was time for me to go to sleep, I went to the bunk bed and went off to work at, as usual, about 2 o'clock in the morning. And later I remember hearing Ellie cry out. Because I'm a bad mother, I held my breath and hoped she'd go back to sleep. And she did. I did, though, hear footsteps running down the stairs, but we lived in a Victorian terrace, and I just thought they were from next door. The next morning, I snuck downstairs again, trying to avoid my children for as long as possible, to make a cup of tea before the girls woke up. And I was slightly mystified to find the front door open. And then as I looked around me, the bleariness of sleep, I saw there were drawers open too. And it began to dawn on me, we had been burgled. And I remembered then Ellie's cry and the footsteps down the stairs. And I realised what had happened. I had been alone in the house with the two girls and we had been burgled. I raced upstairs to the bedroom and could see through the door that the chest of drawers were open and that my jewellery had gone. The burglar had been in the room with the two girls. You can imagine, I suspect, my feeling. I was about to go into a total panic when I caught sight of, just for a split second, an angel standing at the end of the bed. In that moment, the veil between heaven and earth was taken back. And I knew without a shadow of doubt that my girls had been protected and kept safe by an angel. Alwyn read for us in Psalm 91, "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." This verse has taken on a new meaning for me. All of this happened about 6 weeks after my father had unexpectedly died. He had been my protector, my rock, and my person of safety. His death impacted me hugely and was making me feel really unsafe. When I saw that angel, I felt, rather than heard, God say, "I am your protector, I am your rock, and I am your person of safety. I will always be with you." I thought you'd like to see a picture of my children. Oh, it's gone. There you go. You'll never know what my children look like. Well, you might in another sermon know what they look like. Don't know what happened to that one. There we go. Friends, that moment changed my life forever. It changed my perspective, my faith, forever. That day, I saw something of the divine narrative, something more beyond what we just see with our own human eyes. The combination of God's promises, experience, and faith has proved to be a stabilizing stool in my life ever since. Maybe just pray. Oh, maybe this is a blessing over you, actually. Maybe you should look at me. Sure, look at me. Yeah.
<Mine's dead now>. Yeah.
Because the blessing I want to give you today is that the Lord Jesus, whom your life is hidden with and in, would protect you and give you insight into seeing his promises, believing his promises and his protection over you, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mary. One of the things that you probably know, but we do record our sermons, and on this second Sunday we have two different sermons because we've got the All Age. But Mary, that's been such a gift to us, because you've shared the Bible, you've also shared your own experience and something of your faith. So I'd like us just to sit with it for a little while. So let's just continue to think, what's the work that God might want to be doing in us, to get to know his word or to trust him in our experience? Mary also shared something of her having a vision or a picture or seeing something. And actually, that's you may think, oh, that's what people did in the Bible. Lots of people today have genuine spiritual experiences and hear from God, but we're not used to processing it, and so we dismiss or think we're a bit odd. I mean, some of you are a bit odd, but nevertheless, we all can hear from God and learn to hear his voice. So, Mary, thank you for sharing that.